one of the things that leaders ask me all the time is, do I need to change who I am? And what if I am just a more, you know, a less empathetic person? Or what if I am a more, what if I like to just drive to results? It's cost me a lot of energy to lean into people. And I say, well, I don't think you need to change who you are. I think you just need to make your own personality and expectations and style known to others.
But wait, there is more. It's one like those commercial or infomercial you see where you hear a pitch and then the next thing that comes towards the end is, but wait, there's more. Well, there is more to hear from our guest today, Melissa Liamson. And she will be sharing some things with us. And I hope I didn't butcher her name just now. It didn't sound the way, but we'll find out shortly. But hey, you are here with me, your delightful and talented podcast host and leading advocate for workplace satisfaction. I'm going to take you on a journey with our guest today. And you're going to hear how skillfully and masterfully. And what else can I add about how I execute this interview? As only a trained professional like myself can. Now, don't you try this at home. It may sound easy, but you'll find out. So anyway, we are going to get into this episode with our guest. So let the learning begin.
Welcome to the Kingsley Grant Show, the podcast dedicated to helping you become the leader everyone loves and wants to follow. Kingsley believes his leadership paradigm, emotelligence, the art of succeeding where others failed, is the key to achieving this status. On this show, Kingsley guides you through the uncharted waters of emotional intelligence and leadership essentials, with the guarantee that upon exit, you will become more skilled in relationship management, decision-making, and job performance. Now here's your host, your coach, and your Sherpa, Kingsley Grant.
Here we go, here we go, here we go. This is your boy, Kingsley Grant, sitting behind the Jamaican microphone, bringing you yet another show. And it is from the show that's been voted number 3 on the top 15 podcast on emotional intelligence by FeedSpot. And so I am excited that you are listening to one of the top shows right now. And I'm in the command center of the Emotelligent Leadership Institute, where I'm going to dig into the vault and get today's show so that what you've come for, you will have. So let me reach in right here and get today's show. There it is. I got it. And put it down right here. And now we can dive into today's show. And on today's show, as you have heard, we have a special guest. What you heard just now is a brief teaser of a lot more information that will be downloaded in this episode. So make sure that you have a place or a chance to be able to take copious notes or record something or just have a way of remembering some of the things that our guest Melissa Liamson will share with us today. But before she does, let me say thank you for being here. If this is your first time, thanks again for coming. And I do appreciate this because you have made a special effort. I don't know what took you so long, but hey, you're here now and that's what matters to me. And with that said, if you are here and this is your second, third, fourth, fifth, or umpteenth time, thank you. You're it. You're the man. You're the woman. You make it happen. I do appreciate that very, very much. And because of you, the show is doing as well as it is. As you'll hear, we are in over 90 plus countries. I think it's 92 and counting. And that's within a year. Imagine that, what is to come. So as you spread the word and share with others and they know about the show, We believe we're going to climb and hit over 100 in a very short time. I've done it before in my past podcast episodes, so I know it's possible. So thank you again for spreading the word and also leaving a review and rating on the platform in which you listen. And also I want to mention one last thing, and that is this show is being brought to you by Kingspire Communication, the place where leaders go to become better at decision-making, relationship management, and work performance. If that interests you and on your people, make sure you reach out to me and help us. Let us help you become the leader everybody loves and wants to follow. So how do you do that? Go to KingsleyGrant.com, KingsleyGrant.com, and connect with us there and let us schedule that event. Whether it's virtually done or when the time comes in person, we'll make it happen. So I look forward to hearing from you very, very soon. With that said, my friend, and without further ado, would you put your hands together and help me welcome to the show none other than our guest, Miss Melissa Liamson.
Thank you for joining me on the Kingsley Grant Show, where emotional intelligence and leadership skills intersect. This show is designed for leaders who want to know what works and what doesn't work in today's workplace. And today we have a special guest on the show. Her name is Melissa Liamson. Let me tell you a few things about Melissa, and then we'll fill in the rest as we go. Melissa is the CEO of Liamson Consulting. She works with leaders to elevate their skills, grow their company, and create inclusive workplaces. She knows that when leaders present the best version of themselves, the individual, the team, and the organization wins. Melissa has founded companies in Europe and the U.S., has clients and projects in over 40 countries, and has authored 6 books. She works side by side with a global list of C-level executives. Throughout her career, she has helped build strong leadership cultures, developed manager and leadership learning programs from the ground up, and acquired firsthand knowledge of several leading industries, including the latest advancements in artificial intelligence. It's my pleasure to welcome Melissa to the show. Melissa, how are you today?
I am fine, thank you, Kingsley. Thank you for asking.
Awesome. So where in the world is Melissa today?
I'm based in downtown Phoenix, actually, at the moment.
Awesome. Great. So, Melissa, if I or someone should come to Phoenix, what's a must-see, a must-do, or a must-taste that that person ought to see, do, or try?
Oh, yeah. Great question. So, I highly recommend that you take advantage of the surrounding nature. The mountains and desert are just beautiful. So fabulous for hiking and still pretty good this time of year.
Awesome. Is there any particular food item that is pretty much a favorite of people who come to Phoenix or people who live in Phoenix, would you say?
Yes. I mean, we're very proud of Mexican food here, as well as some Native American food. Mm. Those are some nice options. So I highly recommend you kind of visit those communities and the restaurants in those communities. And then also that we have some great local kind of American European fare here too. So new restaurants popping up every day, actually.
Do you like spicy as a, I know like for me, I like spicy stuff. So are you like a spicy person or not someone spicy?
I am. I grew up eating spicy food and I really enjoy it too. Yeah.
Well, that's great. At least that's one thing you and I would have in common there. So we could get along pretty well eating some good food in Phoenix, Arizona, wherever that is. One day we may do that together. So it was great to have you here on the show, Melissa. So it's a question that I ask all my guests is when you hear the word leader or leadership, what comes to your mind?
People. So really leaning into people and understanding what they need, what inspires them, what motivates them, how to empathize with their situation, particularly at the moment. That's pretty important.
Mm-hmm. Why is that so important that a leader makes sure that is something that they are very much doing, or, you know, is top on their top of mind awareness or agenda?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it may sound sort of obvious, but it, you know, people are really, they're nervous, they're stressed, they're concerned about the future, some more than others. But I think all of us are feeling a bit, you know, tentative about what's going to happen, as well as just people feeling not only scared or nervous, but even feeling bored or stressed being at home all the time. And so the more that we can at least hear others and be aware of that and not just sort of focus on the tactics of getting business done, but to really lean into where people might need some sort of reprieve or relief or just someone to talk to, then that will certainly help with motivation and engagement and therefore productivity.
Oh, my question was going to be there. Is there any particular time that a leader ought to be more aware of that? Or are you suggesting that this should be an ongoing thing for leaders to do? And when they do that, there is some kind of benefits or advantage to that?
Well, it's interesting that you asked that, Kingsley, because I, of course, believe that a leader should do that all the time. And that should be something that's top of mind. I think because of COVID-19, leaders are seeing the necessity of it more. It's more obvious to people because you can't really hide the stress, the fear, the working from home, the boredom, all of those as easily maybe as you could if you were going into the office every day. And also because it's a real crisis, right? Mm-hmm. Or a global crisis. And so I think that so the short answer is yes, I think a leader should do it all the time, and now they're starting to really see why that's important.
You know, and I 100% agree with that, and I wonder, because some leaders who possibly may not be, of course, they're thrown into this kind of setting and they may not be used to this, and obviously, and probably, as you said, leaning in to their people as much as is needed during times of crisis or change or mergers or any of those kind of things. And I they might be wondering, how would that look? What might they need to do that would let the person know or the team members know that truly I am paying attention, I'm leaning in? What would they need to, the people need to see that would tell them that a leader is doing such?
Yeah, I think a couple different things. I think sharing their own vulnerability, you know, let me back up a minute. I think leaders often feel as though they need to be the ones with the answers. They need to be the ones that solve. They need to be the strong one.
Of course, they're the leader, Melissa. Come on.
That's right. And I often find and have for years seen that some of the most confident and the most highly regarded leaders are the ones who say, look, I don't really know, but I want to sit down and have a conversation and let's talk about it. Let's think about it. You've seen some great leaders do that in the past, whether it's Oprah or Bill Gates. You know, they've really sat down and they said, I don't know, but I want to ask some questions and have a conversation. And if we can take the time to do that with those that we're leading, share where we're vulnerable and ask a lot of questions around, maybe not a lot of questions, but at least some questions, just sort of generally around what could we do to make things better? How are people feeling? What are we thinking about? What does the future look like? It can just create a lot of space for building trust and also a lot of credibility as a leader.
And, you know, I think that's really a great way of framing that the conversation piece just now. And I appreciate that. And I can hear that person also, Melissa, because you mentioned, for example, even Oprah or Bill Gates or people like that. And somehow as a leader, I might be thinking, you know, yeah, but they're confident. Yeah, they have really, you know, they really don't, they have nothing to lose because they are who they are. But for me as a leader, I might find myself thinking that's weak to show up and be vulnerable. And what does that mean to my people to see me that way? For some people, though, it can be very intimidating. And I wonder how can a person as a leader revisit that very thought and possibly see it in a more positive light?
See the thought of
of being vulnerable and being able to present myself that way, as you describe, because some of them may see it as weakness and as like people take advantage of that. And so they don't want to go there.
Sure, sure. Well, I think you should share as much as you feel comfortable, right? Like, it doesn't mean do something that's completely uncomfortable, but to just kind of even maybe using some humor, right? Like, is everybody having trouble fitting into their regular jeans or their regular pants? Because I don't know about you, but I've been eating a lot of cake, my kids are running around screaming and I'm just not used to all that background noise. I'm used to working in a lot of quiet. So it's just kind of hard to, it's hard to concentrate. Is anybody else finding that? Mm. So it's not necessarily that people have to share things that are super vulnerable for them, but just sort of identify some of the same scenarios that probably their team is going through too. And their team is just like, oh, okay, great. Yeah. We have the same feeling, right?
Yeah. And I like that. You know, I like about that what you just mentioned, Melissa, is the fact that when I hear you mention it that way, I would say for me, if I have a leader that way, I feel like, you get me, you understand me, you are just like me. So this person I may have created in my mind to be like, outside feeling anything, experiencing anything. Now you've now said, hey, I've kind of shrunk that gap, that space that you once held about you and I. And that helps, I believe, to build rapport that could help serve that relationship for a long term that person may want to give more of themselves to the leadership and to the organization. Would that be true?
Yes, for sure.
Okay. So I like that part. And I think that is really something as a leader who's listening right now would realize, and how when they hear vulnerability, I hope now that the way you presented it, it to me is more palatable, it's more tasteful, it's more like doable. So I thank you for sharing that in such a simple manner. And I love the example because that I could relate to, and I think most people can relate to that as well. So part of the work that you do when you mentioned the idea of helping people or leaders become the best version of themselves, what does that really mean?
Yeah. So I just actually last week launched a course, which is a pre-recorded online course, and it can be accessed on my website, lampsonconsulting.com, under courses. And I have a special actually discount on it right now for during the COVID time. And the way that I've laid it out is I talk about, visioning of what do I want to be known as a leader? How do I want to present myself as a leader? So really thinking about what is my brand and what is my image and how do I want to walk that talk, right? And then moving from there, what are some of the skills and things that I need to have in place to really be able to dial into the what motivates other people, how to understand what they need, what they want, what they're striving for. And that's going to differ for everyone. So I can't just presume that, a promotion or more money or more interesting work is going to be everyone's interest, but there could be other interests that I haven't considered in terms of how people are motivated. And then I talk about feedback and coaching and the importance of that, how to manage a high-performing team, how to do that virtually, especially today. It's critically important, but it certainly continues to be as we work more and more globally and in dispersed teams. So all the real communication skills and frameworks and tools that you can possibly use to ensure that your team is coming together, being really productive and moving forward in the right direction, getting deliverables done.
Okay. So I could see where then, actually it's that leader, he or she is focused on the best version, meaning that they're really focused on self, personal and professional development. And these things you're describing so well, which I think is really important that we have that. And I think a leader can find him or herself better, feel more confident at what they do. Because I find sometimes leaders are put in a position that they may not necessarily have been prepared for, right? They are the tenure in the company has put them in that position. Their performance at a certain level has put them in that position. But when they get there, they are struggling with what to do, how to best lead people. And what would That's you say right. to that person who is possibly trying to lead the same way that they approach a project or a task? And so not recognizing there has to be a difference in that. How can a person transition themselves in that leadership position in the best way possible?
Yeah. Well, that's actually my specific area of expertise is working with new managers, new leaders. And one of the things I say is you have to really think about the percentage of the time that you're willing to invest in people, because it's now going to shift. So you'll have to be thinking about, how do I give up of some of my tasks and some of my daily work? How do I delegate that, set boundaries around that, maybe give it up altogether in order to be able to, again, lean into the people side. Mm. And so the best practice is 50-50, but it's not a perfect science, right? It's also more of an art. So it may be 30-70, maybe 40-60. It might be 80-20 in some cases, where you need to spend 80% of the time leaning into the people. It really kind of depends on the team. But you'll get a sense of that based on how you're interacting with the individuals in your team. You want to do a lot of asking and understanding where they fall, building trust, having those one-on-ones in order to build a cadence of expectation setting, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So that's the initial piece, is to really understand what's the balance, what do I need to give up, what do I need to delegate.
Yeah, and that's really, you know, I find some, even in a state of the pandemic and so on, and doing a lot of virtual or teamwork, some leaders tend to look at that as you describe, Melissa, and probably think that the what has been suggested becomes like, oh, wait a minute, does it mean that I now no longer get to do what I love to do, or, you know, hands-on and so on with my work? But I'm hearing that the important thing you're pointing to is to make people the most important part of what you do as a leader. Because when you said earlier, when a leader lean into that, they're able to get more from their people, and basically everybody win that way. Wouldn't that be true?
Yes, that's right. Should they be leaning into their people more as a leader, period? Is that what you were
asking? Yeah,
for sure. I mean, people are your key to getting things done. That's your resource to having your business be successful. So if you don't learn how to manage and interact and communicate well with them, then it's certainly going to be difficult to get them to be as productive as they can. I mean, the Gallup poll shows year after year that 70% of the workforce is disengaged or actively disengaged. And that's a pretty big percentage. And actively disengaged is even more alarming, because it means that they're doing things against the company or the team, the manager or the boss. Yeah. And so if that's the case, we have to get really good at being at engaging people. Mm-hmm. And that's just the people who are actually in the workforce. How do we recruit, retain people? I mean, those who are really good and are really energetic and interested in being productive, they'll leave us, right? If they can find a better opportunity elsewhere. And so we have to be thinking about that in terms of engagement and retention, and who, you know, and making sure that we get the best people to stay and create an environment that they want to stay.
And you know, I think that is where some leaders lack, Melissa. And here's what I find sometimes, and, you know, leaders that I work with, and, you know, through coaching or training or otherwise, I find one of the big shift, or the challenge in shifting that thinking, is that, you know, when it comes to tasks or products, there's a metric surrounding that I can measure. Okay, I need to do 10 items today. So did we do 10 items or not? So it becomes more attainable and more metric driven. When it comes to people and making them the number one thing, what I get is how do I put a measurement around that? And do I find that I'm spending so much time doing those things, and I just really don't see, I guess probably short term, what that looks like in the return on the investment? And some people have a hard time with, they know that they can put metrics around a product or, you know, a task, for example, right? They know start and finish. When it comes to people and helping to people develop, it's harder to put metrics around that. How do you help a leader think that way differently?
Well, first of all, I don't think it's hard to put metrics around it. So leaders need to, for sure, find experts who know how to do that, like yourself and like me, who can help them
who can help them put metrics into leading people and understanding what engagement means. And so that's for sure something they should do, just like they do with their product and services.
So what I go back to what you just said, Melissa, is that, you know, I think, you know, I like what Simon Sinek, and mm-hmm. he has a new book about, you know, the infinite game. And his whole point of that book is that sometimes leaders and business owners, they don't think of things in an infinite way. They think more finite and they look at right now. And sometimes that is what caused them to not be as successful as they could be. And I wonder if sometimes leaders probably they miss the mark by looking at the immediate, the return on what could happen, of course, you know, product-wise, rather than looking long-term. What does that person mean to you if they stay with you or they leave? Because leaving or replacing them, it can be very expensive. So they miss that and sometimes not see the value of a person over a product per se.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I that would be unfortunate if a leader did that. I mean, they have to look at both, right? The ROI right. of the product and the service and the person.
So I think that leads me into the thing that you have a book that called the new global manager, because I think from my kind of scan on, it's like learn to manage well in a complex business environment. And so which we are talking about here, I think sometimes can be complex for some leaders and they are trying to learn how to manage. So in a sense, we're saying we're managing people more so than actually tasks and products. So let's talk about that for a second here, Melissa. What led you to write that book and who's it target in? Who's it for?
Sure. So it's primarily targeted for managers working in the U.S., and it's a particularly good book for new managers or those who want to set kind of a culture, create a culture of management within their organization, meaning they don't necessarily, they're managing people, but they don't necessarily have a set of tools and frameworks with which they want to all have the whole organization operate by, and they'll onboard people and teach those tools to them or onboard leaders and teach them those tools. And I wrote the book because I've had the opportunity to start companies in other countries and work on projects in over 40 countries. And so being an intercultural communication expert and then also a diversity expert and global diversity particularly, it's really a compilation of what I find to be most effective for managers, but also for global managers. And my contention in writing the book is that we are no longer working strictly in a local or managing in a local environment. We are managing globally, even if we aren't necessarily operating in other countries. Because I believe the world is global now. And so even in our own backyard, we need a global mindset in order to understand and manage and lead people effectively.
Would there be, you know, we have leaders right now in over 92 countries listening to our podcast right here as we're interviewing right here. And I'm wondering, as they're listening, have you found in your experience and in your training and so on, maybe one or two things or even three that is true for all leaders or all managers, you know, that you've come across globally that you would say, hey, these are things that no matter where you are, no matter which, what country or, you know, or county or wherever you are, these are some things you need to be aware of as a manager, as a leader, if you're going to get the best out of your leadership and from your people. What are two or three things you would say that is true for all or should be true for all of these leaders?
Yeah. I mean, doing more listening and less telling, right, is really important because it shows that you're truly invested and care about not only the individuals, but also the context with which they live in and work in. And then I think it's also very important to spend in today, obviously very difficult, but spend some time in, if you're working in an international environment, spend some time in the different locations with the teams so that they understand that you're truly making a commitment to go to them. You don't just see them as sort of, you know, a work machine over there in another location, but actually as people that you care about and you'd like to
see also prosper in the organization and in the team. So spend some time with them if that's possible. And today we just have to do that in more creative virtual ways, right? Mm-hmm. And then I would say the third thing is in terms of sort of global standard, I think it's important to know that everybody is an individual, even though they are a part of a culture. So while it's very helpful to understand the cultural nuances around time, direct, indirect communication, how hierarchy works across different cultures in terms of people being feeling comfortable to take initiative or feeling as though they need more direction. Also just in terms of planning versus taking action and how much planning, how much of a plan do we need before we take action, or can we just take action and kind of build the plan as we go? That even though those are sort of four important cultural dimensions that I talk about in the book, I also believe it's important that we see people as individuals and we manage to that, but also understand that they will be part of other groups and other contexts.
You know, I love that. I think that is such a very key part of our conversation, because I find sometimes the question that I get asked often, whether through social media or directly, is, but I'm in this place, I'm in this country, and I, you know, things may be different where you are, and here's, and they begin to share with me what that looks like. And I would say, okay, well, there might be a different culture, a different setting, but there are some things that are universal, I think, in application and leadership that is true for all leaders, all places, all times. And I think what you have described as far as listening, that's always true, always, all places, no matter where you are, that has to be a very important thing that all leaders are going to do. And I love the fact also about spending time investing in people, and we can go to them even if we physically can't, but like you said, we can do that through even today, right? Through other platforms that are available to us, we can go to them and our second best way of making that happen. And I think, which is also a great wrap on all of this, was treat people as an individual. And I think it's so important that they are somehow feel as if they, as a person, is being looked upon by what they bring to the table, and not necessarily be compared or be kind of thrown into the mix with everybody else. Even though you do that as a team, I think these are three great things that you have identified, which I believe is true for leaders at all times, all places. So I want to thank you for sharing that with us, Melissa. So as we're kind of wrapping up things here, I wonder if I had one question that I could have asked you that I did not, and you want to share briefly on that for our audience. Is there something you want to share as we kind of wrap things up here?
I think one of the things that leaders ask me all the time is, do I need to change who I am? Mm. And what if I am just a more, you know, a less empathetic person? Or what if I am a more, what if I like to just drive to results? Do, you know, it's cost me a lot of energy to lean into people. And I say, well, I don't think you need to change who you are. I think you just need to make your own personality and expectations and style known to others so that people know what to expect of you and how to best lean into you as their leader. And with that, I think it will become more natural how you interact with human beings, because we all have different preferences, and that's perfectly fine. Mm. So if you make those known, we can definitely have the opportunity to build trust and build better relationships with others.
And, you know, I like that, because as a person who is one of my strengths is in emotional intelligence, I think as a leader, that is part of their growth process because of who they are. This is a way to kind of step out of their comfort zone, to be self-aware, and then to be more, you know, relationship aware. What can I do to grow in this regard? And maybe I might need to stretch myself. So it could be an opportunity for them to develop and grow and not stay kind of stoic in who they are. So I think that's a great point you mentioned, and that we should not use it as an excuse for our to lead, but just to see, just to identify with us different people. And I think that's a really good point you're making. So thank you for adding that to our conversation. And as you're listening, you're probably wondering, how can I get a hold of Melissa? Melissa, you can find her at lamsonconsulting.com. That's a website. And on LinkedIn, Melissa Lamson, and it's M-E-L-I-S-S-A LAMSON. And Lamson Consulting, of course, is spelled the same way, LAMSONconsulting.com. And also, you can get free PDF downloads on her website. So go there and avail yourself to that. And the course she mentioned is also available on her website. The book we mentioned is also there. You can access that from her website. So all the things that Melissa mentioned today, you only got the surface of that. Imagine what more you can get by going and connecting with her and make sure that she is aware that you have heard her on the Kings of Grand Show, and so that you can avail yourself and become a better leader. So Melissa, I want to say thank you so very much for the time you spent with us on the Kings of Grand Show, and we truly appreciate your knowledge and expertise, but also simplifying the process for us so we can actually understand and have a practical response to what we've heard today. So thank you for that.
Thank you so much, Kingsley. I appreciate it.
Awesome.
And there you have it, my friend. As you listen to Melissa today, I do hope, like I did, you were able, as you tracked with her, find out what it's like for you to lead like a pro in crisis. Because here's what happened. You can only lead as yourself. No matter what you've heard, what I say, what Melissa says, you've got to find what works for you. But here's the thing. She gave you more than enough angles, more than enough, I would say, different ideas that you can pull from and really let it work on your behalf. We would love to hear what is it you took away, but also what you've implemented and how that is working out. If you are on LinkedIn, make sure you're following both of us, both myself and Melissa Lyamson. And there will be a link in the notes that follow the show that you can also connect with us on. But follow us. And when I post this show on social media, whichever platform is your favorite, please comment, ask a question, connect with Melissa. Let her know what your thoughts were on listening to this show. Let me know. I would love to hear as well what's happening in your world as it pertains to your leadership and your team, especially in a crisis like we're now going through at this present time while we record this episode in 2020, where we have the pandemic, the coronavirus or COVID-19, and will be something that will be with us for a very long time, or, of course, in the history books, it will be there as well. So, again, thank you for taking the time to listen and being here with us on the show. We do appreciate that very, very much. So, my friend, as we come to the end of our show today, let's put this show back into the archives and then say our goodbye. So here we go. There it is. Now that the show is in the archives, I can safely exit the command center of the Immortelligent Leadership Institute. And my friend, remember, you're one skill away, one skill from your best hope. With that said, my friend, peace out, God bless, and I'll see you on the flip side. Yeah.